In a world where achievements and accolades motivate us to do more and be more, we're often left wondering, is this really it?
Deep inside, you know there is more to life. You're ready to leave behind the old, push your way through, and claim the deeper life that's calling you.
That's where we excel.
We're your hosts, Stephanie Allen
and Marin Oslak.
And this is the Soulful Leader Podcast.
Sit back and relax as we share the shortcuts we've uncovered to help you make shift happen.
So glad you are here listening to us today. We have got something really wonderful to talk about. We're going to talk about flow. And what is flow? And why is it important? And how does it affect us, not only as leading our own lives, but also inspiring, and how it affects everybody around us too. So I'm here with Marin.
Good to see you all. So I just have to say, when you're introducing us and what we're talking about today, and you mentioned flow, and I just got this fountain from my mom. And so I had wanted a desktop fountain. And so now I have, and you can maybe hear it in the background, I now have flow right here on my desk, reminding me, and just like, not in a harsh way. And I think we're going to talk a lot about that today, about like how hard we treat ourselves, and it doesn't allow for flow. And if you think about water, water is flow. And the way that water does things is gently over time, right? It just wears away. It can work through anything gently over time.
Water knows no obstacles, does it?
No, and it rises to its own level. There's so many great little analogies and metaphors that we could use with water. And the reason is because that's where we're meant to be. We're supposed to be in our own flow, right? Each of us. And it's unique. It's unique to us.
I love that. When we talk about uniqueness, I know you and I have been talking a lot about the paradox of how we have our own uniqueness of gifts and strengths and values and passions. And each one of us brings like our unique fingerprint. And yet there's this incredible longing to connect and belong. And yet we're also each different. So it's the merging of the uniqueness with the togetherness. And that's what really makes it beautiful, isn't it?
It is. And I love that you put it that way, because I think especially, there are a couple different things, but one, as leaders, when, especially if we have got a team or we're working with anyone who's working with multiple personalities, right? Not just in ourselves, but the external multiple personalities, and how do we create a cohesive team of individuals that are completely unique and honor the uniqueness and yet also create a cohesive team, right? That's our biggest challenge.
And for those of you who are listening too, I know we're talking about teams and we might be thinking of business but you know, your family is a team. And
yes.
In essence, when you go to work, I said this to somebody else the other day, I said, you work 40 hours a week if you're in a job right now, or even in your own business. Most of us work even longer than that. And so when you think of that amount of hours that you're putting in, you're probably putting more time in your workplace than you are in your family. Mm-hmm. So it is our chosen family, not necessarily our birth family, but our chosen family. So leadership transcends the parameters of just being an entrepreneur or in business. Leadership is in all aspects of our lives. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And so I want to kind of bring that full circle in that, you know, I mentioned the outer team and there's also the inner. So how I show up in my family, in my team, in my business as a team member, and whether I do that from a unique and honoring place, or I do it from a this is what is expected of me place. And I think that that's really what we wanted to delve in and talk about today, because I know for myself, I had an experience earlier this week where I made an assumption about something that a team member might be thinking about me, right? And you can hear, even when I say it out loud, it sounds ridiculous. And yet it consumed a large part of my week of like, well, she must be thinking this or she must be thinking that, da, 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 you know, and like, and I realized it was self-judgment. It was my own judgment of myself and what I should be doing as a leader. And the second layer of that is that once I came to that realization and I understood that it had nothing to do with the reality of what was going on, was that I wanted to change it because I do want to model behavior as a leader of my team. I don't want to model the behavior that I thought I should be modeling. So yeah,
that should is a real interesting thing because we tend to go back on old ways of learning behavior, right? Like our whole life has been saying, you know, you got to work harder, you got to work longer, you're not good enough. All of these parts that have essentially given us, I call it, it really is a form of PTSD that we're always trying to measure ourselves up against something that we're never good enough. And so, you know, you said it too, like how much energy it costs you, like thinking about it and trying to figure things out and trying to adjust or overcompensate or undercompensate or twist and turn. And how this all relates to flow is that when we allow ourselves to really discover what we talk about is our divine DNA, right? Really discover our reason for being and our gifts and our strengths and our passions and our values, which were all placed inside our hearts when we came to this work, this place called Earth. But our life can set us up to basically train us to not remember, to forget. And we, you know, judge ourselves on what other people think of us instead of discovering really the truth of what is lying within our hearts. So I think you said it so well, and how much we can, you know, take time and energy and money and effort when there's another way, isn't there?
There is. And you mentioned the belief that we need to work longer, work harder. And that's where, so just, you know, so that I am a little clearer about what was going on for me, because, you know, we've got the concepts and then we've got the tangibles. So being really clear and tangible with that. So I have this belief that I caught in myself that I have to, in order to be successful, I have to work hard. And what that looks like is, in my world, is that I have to show up a certain amount of time and I have to work a certain number of hours. And as the owner of my business, I have to model that by saying, you know, it's like, be the first one to work, be the last one to leave, do more than anybody else. And when I really stopped and thought about that, I'm like, A, where did I get those beliefs? And B, are they actually true? And I think that the main thing, at least for me, around this new way of leadership, of being a soulful leader, is busting beliefs like that. Because it's not true. It is 100% possible to be in joy and not be the first one at work and the last, you know, like all of the stuff that we were told about what success looks like. Stopping and looking at it, like, is that true? And I will tell you right now, it's not. It's not unless you tell yourself it is. And that's the gift. And it's like, that's what I got to. And you're right. The cost, the high cost of that has been for the last however many years of my type A personality of like burnout. And you're like all of the stuff that I do to make things happen. And have I been successful? Yes. At what price? At what cost? The cost of my health, the cost of my relationships, the cost of my time, the cost of my energy. And I'm super excited because I've started to do it differently. And that's why I've started to become aware of the little places in my life where those beliefs, like they still pop up. And I was like, oh, look it, I caught you.
Well, and you're also redefining what success means to you when you can look back and say, was that really success? Or was that somebody else's success that I was striving for at a cost?
Right. And, you know, I mean, when you put it like that, yes. So when you, you know, it's like, when I say I was successful, in the eyes of the world, I was successful. I made money. I have a business to show for it. I, you know, like all of the outer trappings that people, that a lot of the world, I guess, if you're in a third world country or if you're, you know, a native in a tribe somewhere, you're like, you have what? Who cares? But in the United States in today's day and age, I'm successful by all the standard metrics of that.
Mm-hmm. So this is an opportunity to redefine that, and that by all means, you know, all of, like, I know you're listening out there, and we're not saying, hey, don't make money. Hey, don't lead a company or anything like that. What we're saying is that to redefine what success means to you and how that is going to feed your life or not. Like, I've heard it said before, you know, when we come to the time when we're ready to leave this bodysuit called a body, we do a reevaluation and say, you know, was it worth it? Did I come to do what I was here to do? Or did I live everybody else's shoulda, coulda, woulda, ought tos to try to people please instead of really looking inside and discovering this incredible being that each and every one of us are inside us? We're all geniuses. We're all beautiful and amazing. Even if you, I know some of you might be going, no, I never was told that. You know, my school said I was like, you know, had a disability or I was struggling in this area. And that's what's so unfortunate. And it reminds me of the quote that Einstein says, you know, if you judge the ability of a fish to climb a tree, then it will spend its whole life thinking it's stupid. And that's really what we're talking about when we talk about water flow. It knows no obstacles. And yes, all of us have known obstacles, absolutely. But you also have this incredible flow that you have too that you may not even value. And my question is, why? Why is it that we, what comes naturally, what comes easy and joyfully to us, that we tend to put it last, or we don't value it, or we don't recognize it? You know, why is that? It's a great question.
It is a great question. And that is the question that I came to this week for myself of, I have this outer, I have this stuff telling me what success looks like. And having, you know, when I was talking about the cost to myself of my own dream, of my own unique note in this world, my own, when I say note, like musical note of like, what's my aria? What am I here to make manifest in this world? And instead I got distracted, and it may not be fully distracted, but I, you know, like I got distracted by what I was told by others that I should be doing. And, you know, I kind of put, I drew a line in the sand this week and said, no more. And I know that I have drawn that line before, and I will draw it again, because I'll keep finding the places in my life where that's true, right? It's not a one-time thing. It's a process. Being in flow is a process of continuing to discover all my gifts and strengths and the places where I've shoved them aside and put them away because somebody else told me something that I believed more than myself.
And I believe that, you know, when you're hearing the shoulds, right? I should be better. I should be this. There's someone else out there that can do that so beautifully and so effortlessly. It's actually their flow. It's actually their gift and strength. And when we allow ourselves to not be perfect, to not try to control everything, but to allow this interconnectedness with ourselves, with each other, then there's a place for all of us. And I have a couple examples of that. This past couple of weeks, I have a friend of mine who is absolutely extraordinary at creating beauty. And any job that she does, she brings it up to the highest level of absolute elegance and beauty. And she can transform things and get them marketed and networked and get them all out there. It's just beautiful. What she's not so great at, though, is details, in the way of like finances and different things like that. And unfortunately, she tends to surround herself with a whole culture of individuals that are constantly nitpicking her, saying that she needs to be better here and she's not paying attention to this and she has to be accountable for logistics. And she just really is not good at it. And it hurts her. And what happens is that it actually hurts everybody else that she's serving. Because if she truly flew in her own little, with her wings out wide and played big in her area, she actually lifts everybody else. We kind of talked about water, is that, you know, when the water rises, and where I live is called the Bay of Fundy, and it's the highest tides in the world. So when that tide rises, all boats rise with it. And that's what we are. It's like when one person lifts up and drops into their flow, all those around them lift up with them. And we need to remember that. So to give yourself permission to really rise. The other example I have is someone that I hired who's also very wildly creative and really good at problem solving, except for that she's an accountant. And why I say except for is that it's great if you have a problem and you need a solution to get around, except for, again, she's not so great at the details, and you really want someone who's really good with the paying your taxes and paying the things on time. And she wasn't so great at that. And consequently, not only did it hurt those that, you know, she serves, it also hurts herself too. And, you know, you end up, you know, internalizing it and saying, oh, I'm terrible. I'm not good at what I'm doing, or the world is against me. And that really separates us, not only from each other, but also from your own leadership of your heart. So,
yeah, it makes me think of, like, so there's motivational cycles and demotivational cycles, right? And so, you know, it's like success feeds success. And I don't want to use the word failure, but you, so like it, when I do something that doesn't feed my soul and doesn't bring me to that higher place, then I don't feel as good about myself. And so then I don't feel as confident, and then I don't want to keep, you know, and that's a deceleration cycle versus an acceleration or a demotivational cycle. And then the opposite of what, like the first example that you gave, which is the motivational cycle of, like, I've done something that's in my flow. I feel really good about it. Feeds my soul. And then I get feedback from that because I feel more energy. And I'm not saying feedback from somebody else of, like, I'm good enough or not good enough. It just is feedback from myself of, like, ooh, I have more energy. I feel more energized. I feel good. Like, that really felt great, right? And so then I feel more confident. And then it's that upward spiral. And so I think the key for all of us is finding where we can feed the upward cycle. Where are all the places? And then catching the places, like I did this week, of catching those are the places where I was in my own little deceleration cycle. And I went, wait, stop. None of this is true. And I just took a moment and said, okay, well, if it's not true, then what could be true? What is true for me? And we talked last week about our future selves going on a date. I hope you all got to go on a date with your future selves. But that's what I reached into of, like, what do I want for myself? Where am I going that person can help me to break this cycle and go into a better version of myself?
Yes, because we can't change the past, but we can make peace with it. And we can change our present situation by literally connecting to our future that we want to live into. And that's what we're called. That's the upward spiral that I love. So great tips for all of you that are listening out there. Have you got any other, if you could sum it up in a couple of tips there, Maren, what guiding tip outside of also connecting with your future self, but what guiding tip else would you add?
I would say taking a moment in presence, and any kind of a mindfulness practice helps us to develop presence. And a mindfulness practice could be meditation. It could be walking and being aware, starting to become aware of, say, for example, when you're walking, being aware of each part of your foot that touches the ground, right? So it sounds strange, but it just starts to build awareness and mindfulness. And if we're going to catch ourselves in the places in our lives where things aren't working, it's so easy to get caught into the thought feeling, and not even realize that we're spiraling out, right? We think, and then all of a sudden we think that somebody believes something about us or the world is a certain way and we're sure of it. And we, if we just took a moment, if we could just take a moment and stop and break that cycle, and all of a sudden we're like, oh, that actually isn't true. But when we're in it, we can't see it. So I guess my...
Slow down and just breathe for a moment. Give yourself a chance.
So any kind of a practice that you can add or that you could do, even for a few moments a day, that's a mindfulness practice. Look it up online. Ask for it. Look up mindfulness practices and find one that you love and add it to your day. Do it for a few minutes every day. That's what I would recommend.
That's great. I would add two things, and I would say just out of my two stories that I just told too. One, discover what your gifts and strengths are and set your life up around those. That will give you your own interpersonal success. The second thing I would say is to create the culture, like the team. And I don't just mean outwardly, like kind of, although that's important too, but first inwardly in self. So the mind talk, the voice that you're telling yourself, like how you're leading yourself. Are you being harsh? Or are you being kind? And to really look within and create an inner team inside, which will then allow you to attract the right culture outside. You'll be able to discern what is going to be a good fit or not.
So I would love to do two more weeks at least on this flow subject, because I'd like to dive a little bit deeper into both of those that you just mentioned. One of, like you said, discover your flow. And we have tools for that. That's what one of the things that we help people to do. So I think we could go more deeply into, you know, like what, how do you do that? What does that mean? And then doing the other, which is, what was the other thing that you mentioned? Because
creating the inner team.
Yeah, the inner team. My brain just went poof, right? So creating that inner team. And when you said that, my brain went to environment and creating an environment both internally and externally. And I know you just interviewed a gentleman named William who does feng shui. So there's all kinds of tools that we have, and we might spend a couple more weeks on this wonderful idea of flow and different ways that we can support you in that and help you with it. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you so much. Enjoy your week of adding some mindfulness practice, and we'll be back with you next week continuing on flow.
Thanks so much for joining us.
And that wraps up another episode of the Soulful Leader Podcast with your hosts, Stephanie Allen
and Marin Oslak. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to dive deeper, head over to our website at thesoulfulleaderpodcast.com.
Until next time.